Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
And Urban Family Talk.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media.
And the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors. Even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. Well, for some of you, I might have to say, what's good? Another day, another week in the land of the living. Praise God. Well, I'm so glad that you all have made the decision to join us on the program today. I am your host, Abraham Hamilton III, joined by the full J-Squared contingent. The whole squad is in the building today. Mr. Jeff Reed on my left, Mr. Jason Tross on my right, Marty Sparks lighting up the dark from the screening room. Man, we're getting ready to get rolling today. Most of you, as you are making your way from your part-time jobs to your full-time jobs, I want to encourage you to do that with full intentionality, clarity of thought, and conviction, recognizing that as you make the transition, you get the opportunity to build our nation. Building our families is nation building. I say it all the time. I'll say it again here, that we will never be able to out church or out public policy deficiencies that are in the home. Because if you haven't recognized it yet, what's the fundamental building block of civil society? The family. Fundamental building block of the Lord's church? The family. And if you look at even on the public policy front, wherever the federal government has enlarged itself. Tell me where you heard that phrase used before. Well, the federal government has enlarged itself. It has corresponded with the retraction within the family. So I simply want to offer you the encouragement, as I do on a regular basis, to do what you can, not necessarily to change the entire world, but just to transform your own world. The Lord isn't holding us responsible for things beyond our jurisdiction, but the things within our jurisdiction, we absolutely will be held accountable for. So I just want to simply say, man, let's put on our hard hats and our steel-toed boots, get our lunch pails ready as we go to our full-time jobs to invite the Spirit of God to lead us in navigating that space so that as Psalm 127 says, that as we contend with the enemy in the gates, we participate in that expanded battalion where that individual warrior who began initially is accompanied by a cadre of like-minded soldiers in the Lord's army. Praise God. Well, I want to tell you, time is ticking down. We're about a week and a half, 2 weeks away from the Marriage, Family, and Life Conference hosted at Hope Church in Tupelo, Mississippi, sponsored by the American Family Association, Urban Family Communications, and Hope Church, Tupelo. You do not want to miss it. I definitely want to encourage you to stay tuned for Friday's show. Lord willing, we're going to have an amazing interview just to give you a little peek. Into what you can expect at the Marriage, Family, and Life Conference. Man, I'm excited about this. Things are coming together behind the scenes. And I just want to make sure that you're in that number. You know, when the saints go marching in to the Marriage, Family, and Life Conference, you need to be in that number. You can register at urbanfamilytalk.com or at afr.net. You still have room. But I'm telling you, I'll give you guys this little tidbit. There are more people registered than there were last year. I would hate for you to wait and not have a seat. So get your registrations in. I'd love to see you there. One of the things I enjoy every time I get to meet people who listen to the radio, I love to get to hug necks and shake hands. And I see it as a down payment on what we're going to be able to enjoy in eternity. So, Marriage, Family, and Life Conference 2019, you do not want to miss it. Well, let's turn our attention now to the Word of God. We're going to go to Psalm 84. Psalm 84, the entire psalm. It's only 12 verses, though. And I love the Word of God, and I pray that you would be blessed and encouraged by this psalm today. All right, so the first thing I want to say is that Psalm 84 is written by the sons of Korah. The Bible says that explicitly. The sons of Korah, they were a particular portion of the Levites, a particular portion of the priests who penned this particular psalm, and it's referred to as a gittith. Psalm begins in most of your Bibles as to the choir master according to the Gittith, a psalm of the sons of Korah. A Gittith is a particular type of psalm. The example I like to use is within the genre of poetry, you have different types of poems. You have acrostic poems, where you have a poem where each stanza in the poem begins with a particular letter in a chronological order or in a particular pattern. You have Shakespearean sonnets. All of these are poems, but they're particular types of poems. Well, a Gittith is a particular type of song or a particular type of psalm. You have the Sheminith. You might see that in some of the psalms. The Sheminith, or you might have a Lalathoth. That's another type. These are various types of psalms written for different reasons. All right? This, in particular, is a Gittith psalm. We'll begin in the verses 1 through 12. And I love when we are able to have worship songs in our congregations that are derived directly from Scripture. Some of you might recognize some of the verbiage toward that latter part of this psalm in that way. But here we go. I'm going to read the whole thing, then I'm going to unpack it a little bit about it. Here we go. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Now, right from the beginning, the psalm is speaking to the centrality of the temple to worship of the Lord in biblical Israel. When the Bible, when the psalm begins, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. The loveliness of the dwelling place is not a reflection on the grandeur of the architecture. The dwelling place is lovely because of the one who dwells there. How lovely are your is your dwelling place, O Lord, because you are there. How beautiful is our Lord. How majestic is our Lord. How lovely is our Lord in the privilege we have to worship him. And I want you to see, just as the psalmist is focusing on the temple as representative as the reservoir, if you will, for the dwelling of the Lord's presence, I want you to think about focusing on the Lord himself and how we get the privilege to worship him. Then it goes on in the next verse. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. It's articulating kind of like another place in the scripture says, as the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul longs for you. The psalmist is indicating the hunger and the passion that they have to make the trek to the Lord's temple to worship. And I'm going to get to that more specifically. But the psalmist is articulating how my soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. You remember how the temple complex is unfolded. You have the outer court, then the inner court. That's what the psalmist is referring to. How I long to enter the temple complex to engage in the privilege of worshiping the Lord. Then it goes on in the second half of verse 2. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Think about that as a transformation. How you have not only the internal, the hidden man of the heart, but even the place to where your flesh begins to long to worship the Lord. You want to talk about a transformation. And it's written in such an emphatic way that is indicating that worshiping the Lord is not a passive spectator sport. And I don't know, no shade to anybody who is more, you know, reflective and silent in their worship. But I just want to let you know that worship doesn't have to be exclusively reflective and silent. That the exuberance and the rejoicing that unfolds, it's something that's not merely an emotive, externally emotive response, but it is the external revelation of the internal heart condition. How my heart and my flesh sing for joy. And then, oh, I love this. Verse 3, even the sparrow finds a home and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Oh, my goodness. The psalmist is indicating if even the birds of the air are able to find respite, to find the opportunity to dwell in the Lord's house, how much more can we as human beings who are made in the image and the likeness of God approach the temple complex, approach the Lord in worship without fear of being rejected? I want to say to everybody who is listening to me, I don't care where you are in your life, how far gone you may be, if the swallows and the sparrow can find a spot to revel in the Lord's temple, how much more can you as his child, as you as his creation? No matter how far gone you may be, you're never too far gone for the Lord. You're never too far gone for the Lord. I don't care what people may say. I don't care what people may think. You are never too far gone for the Lord. The Lord even told some of his disciples, consider the lilies of the field, how they spin nor toil. Yet not even Solomon in all of his glory was arrayed like these. Man, listen, if the birds of the air can find a place to dwell in the Lord's house, there's room for you at the foot of the cross. There's room for you. The grace of God is inexhaustible. Inexhaustible. You know, when Paul wrote in Romans, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Sometimes we think it's like on an equivalent scale that, oh, for every 1 point of sin, there's 1 point of grace. No. What Paul is writing is that what Paul is articulating there is that where sin abounds, grace does exponentially and exceedingly abound. That the grace of God is so all-encompassing that it would overwhelm the sin. But it's incumbent upon us to turn. It's incumbent upon us to turn. Let me keep going. Blessed are those who dwell in your house who ever sing your praise. Verses 5 and 6, we'll read them together. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Let me just get to that. I said I was going to do 5 and 6, but it's just 5. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose heart are the highways to Zion. It's articulating the type of strength that supersedes natural reasoning, because the Bible required in Deuteronomy chapter 16, for example, verse 16, that the Israelites were required to make the trek from all over the nation of Israel to come to the temple for worship at a minimum, at least 3 times a year. But the psalmist is articulating, this is not a burden. It's not a drudgery. I'm not looking at it as, oh, here I have to go back again to the temple. No, my strength is in you. My heart is in the highways to Zion. All year long when I'm living and working and doing all the other things that I'm doing, my heart is on the road. My heart is invested in making the trek to the place where the God of my salvation dwells. Oh, praise be to God. And I know when life squeezes, there's sometimes a temptation to go dull in our faith. That's why we have scriptural examples when it says, Lord, restore to us the joy of our salvation. And if you are listening to me right now and you're in the place where it might have become dull to you, the glorious thing about our Lord is if we lack anything, we can go to him. We can say, Lord, I feel like I've gotten dried up, Father. I feel like life has punched me in the nose so much so to where the joy of my salvation has kind of ebbed out. This psalm can help us reverse that our strength is in him whose hearts are in the highways of Zion. And as though they go through the valley of Baca, that's a dry place en route to the temple complex, although we go through the valley of Baca, we make it springs, it says in verse 6. We turn the valley of Baca, a dry place, into a place that overflows with water and lubrication. And we go from there from strength to strength as we are preparing to appear before the glory of the Lord. I'm going to fast forward to the latter part of this psalm. The psalmist wraps up this section by saying, better is one day in your courts, O Lord. Better is one day in your house than thousands elsewhere. I'd rather be even the lowest of the lowest service role in the house of God than to build a life dwelling in the tents of the wicked, because that is the perspective of those who don't just do worship, but we've been made worship.
There's a new war on women. Hi, I'm Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. The so-called Equality Act is the greatest threat to our religious freedom. This bill contains many tragic consequences. It's mostly known for unconstitutionally forcing everyone to bow to the LGBT agenda. But there's more. It's a huge threat to women's rights, privacy, and safety. For example, the proposed legislation makes biological sex obsolete, so biological men will be able to compete in sporting events as females. Women will be stripped of the awards and scholarships that are rightfully theirs. The historical and amazing athletic achievements made by women will simply vanish. Biological men will also be able to freely and legally enter women's restrooms and dressing rooms. And that's just the beginning. Pray and tell your senator to vote no on the Equality Act. We must not allow this to happen in America. Stay informed by visiting Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org/HR5.
I love AFR. You say it's on the radio too?
Here at American Family Radio, we know that many people find their audio entertainment in other places than the radio. So our programming is available with the AFR app on Apple and Android devices, through Amazon Alexa, and now available on Roku.
I just love the podcasts.
That too. American Family Radio, streaming our podcast, now available wherever you are. And we're on the radio.
Have you been looking for a way to serve others? Are you able to serve in a ministry without being paid? You and Friendships might be the perfect match. Friendships is currently taking applications for volunteers providing aid to disaster victims, refugees, and the impoverished, both here at home and around the world. Get more information at friendships.org or by calling 337-433-5022.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Regressive evangelicals seem to think the Bible is all about open borders, but it's not. When Israel approached the Promised Land, Moses asked the kings of Edom and Moab for permission to pass through their territory on the way to Canaan and was denied twice. What did Moses do? Did he invade their land or sneak across their borders? No. The Bible says in Judges 11:18, he, quote, went around the land of Moab and the land of Edom, end quote. The Bible teaches us that borders around countries are God's idea, not man's, and are to be honored and respected. When we protect our sovereign borders from an invasion of illegal aliens who enter without our permission, we are following the template laid down by God Himself in His Word. There is nothing wrong and everything right about insisting that the people of other nations honor and respect our borders, and God agrees.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
We're here on the corner of 51st Street and 6th Avenue. You can see police have totally taped off this area behind me as emergency vehicles continue to rush into this area. And the latest we have learned is that there has been one fatality. Governor Cuomo spoke to reporters just a few minutes ago and confirmed that this helicopter did make some kind of hard landing, which caused some small fire, but said that fire is now under control. Of course, he referenced that when New Yorkers hear about something like this, some kind of aircraft down, immediately our minds think the worst. But he said at this time, there is no indication that this was anything other than an accident.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here in American Family Radio. You heard that news report, if you will, in the audio clip played just now. And that is following the tragedy that occurred on September 11th, 2001. Whenever you hear the words plane or helicopter crashing into a building in New York, it causes everybody's antennas, you know, to raise. And so initially the reports out of New York were just that a plane had crashed into a building. Well, I just want to make sure everybody's aware that it was not a plane. It was a helicopter. And according to the reports that are available to us now, and we will update this as more information becomes available, it turns out that a helicopter, for some reason, had to conduct an emergency landing atop a building located at 787 7th Avenue in Manhattan. A crash landing. Now, the I mean, I have a million questions. I mean, what happened to require a crash landing atop this building? And according to the reports available, that the building did not have a helipad. So this is not a place that was equipped to receive a helicopter attempting to land. And to date, as far as we know now, there is at least one fatality there in New York. So this is something we definitely want to keep our mind, keep our eyes on. And the New York Fire Department has responded. They had huge fuel leaks and had all kind of fires and things going on. But I just wanted to make sure those who are listening to the Hamilton Corner that you know that it wasn't a plane. It was a helicopter. And according to the information available to us now, it seems that it was just an accident. And I'm saying just an accident because that is the way it's being reported now. If that changes in the future or if we get more information that provides additional details, we will share that with you. Or if we get information that contradicts what we've shared so far, we will certainly share that with you. But I wanted to make sure everybody was aware of that in New York. Excuse me. All right, got that out. Now, it's the next thing, and this is, I am not very, I don't even know how to describe my emotions surrounding this, but let me just share the information with you. Jack Phillips, most of you familiar with him because of the ordeal he went through starting in 2012. We all thought that it was put to rest in 2018, where he is a Christian man. He believes God has given him the gift to be a cake artist, to be a culinary artist with his abilities, so much so that he named his business, the Masterpiece Cake Shop, for two reasons. One, because he feels like it's the master who gave him the ability to make these pieces. Also, because he sees it as his responsibility as a Christ follower to exalt the Lord with his gifts. And he doesn't just bake cakes, but he calls them masterpieces. He makes custom cake designs there in Colorado. So most of you are familiar with the entire scenario. But back in 2012, this is how long ago this was, guys. 2012, Jack Phillips, his company was invited to design a custom-made cake to celebrate a same-sex wedding. Now, he's made cakes for all, he serves everyone. He invited those individuals, those men who wanted a cake, to buy any cake in his shop. He just said, I cannot make a custom cake because of my faith. I cannot make a specified custom cake to celebrate something that God declares to be sinful. And so he welcomed the young men to anything in his shop, but they then reported him to the Colorado Civil Rights Commission for invidious discrimination based on sexual orientation. The Colorado Civil Rights Commission sought to persecute him, starting the entire ordeal that lasted 6 years that resulted in going all the way up to the Supreme Court of the United States. At the Supreme Court, back when Justice Kennedy was still on the bench, in a 7-2 decision, the Supreme Court ruled in Jack Phillips' favor because they found that Colorado, the state of Colorado, was just too mean. They displayed overt hostility, or the particular term is animus, toward Jack Phillips' religious beliefs. Now, some of you are thinking, wait a minute. Animus, is that a constitutional concept? I'm just going to tell you, no. I was hoping that the Supreme Court would make a full-throated First Amendment decision in Jack Phillips' favor based on free speech and the free exercise of religious grounds, but they just jettisoned all of those notions and they say, well, Civil Rights Commission of Colorado was just too mean. What a lot of people may not be aware of, on that very day, that the Supreme Court ruled in Jack Phillips' favor, albeit on tenuous grounds, in my opinion, a man who was identifying himself as a woman by the name of Autumn Scardina called Jack Phillips' bake shop and asked him to make a custom design cake for him to celebrate his gender transition. Jack Phillips objected to that. So the very day where he was victorious at the Supreme Court, the chain of events started a second lawsuit against Jack Phillips. This Autumn Scardina lawsuit was filed against Jack Phillips, and the entire scenario that he just overcame was starting up all over again. Well, this time, Jack Phillips filed a lawsuit against the state of Colorado that forced the Civil Rights Commission to drop that case against him, and Colorado ended up dismissing Autumn Scardina's lawsuit. Well, that was until last week. Last week, Autumn Scardina filed another lawsuit against Jack Phillips, this time seeking to sidestep the Colorado Civil Rights Commission and immediately demanding a trial in federal court. Now, just to give you an idea, Jack Phillips had an idea that something like this was coming and also has a bit of history with Autumn Scardina, because Autumn Scardina has repeatedly, I would say, harassed Jack Phillips by demanding him to make cakes that he knows Jack Phillips would find objectionable. So just to rewind the tape a little bit, Jack Phillips has declined to do all sorts of cakes. He refuses to make custom design cakes celebrating divorces. He refused to make custom design cakes celebrating Satanism. He refused to make custom design cakes celebrating Halloween, a whole host of cakes, because although he serves everyone, his stance, as his attorneys articulated, that he cannot be compelled to make a statement or to make an expression that he doesn't agree with. And guess what? That's what our Constitution protects. Included in Autumn Scardina's demands in the past has been his request that Jack Phillips makes a cake celebrating Satan's birthday that includes lewd figures. And I'm not going to go into any more detail than that for the sake of Christian radio, but that included lewd figures of the sexual nature integrated into the cake. Jack Phillips says, of course not, I'm not going to do that. You know, so I just wanted to let you know that they've sued him again. So at what point do we get to say that Autumn Scardina is not pursuing any legal rights? Autumn Scardina is harassing Jack Phillips. And how long will the court system allow itself to be utilized as a vehicle for this harassment? And it really, in my estimation, gives a vivid picture of the degree to which, I'll say it this way, not Autumn Scardina in personally, but the degree to which an Antichrist ideation will continuously seek to crush Christianity in our country. You know, you often hear the phrase that you don't negotiate with terrorists. And this is also why I suggest very stridently for those who are seeking to embrace things like the Equality Act or things like the Fairness for All legislation that is coming on the backs of the Equality Act. I'm telling you, watch out for it. The reason why you don't hear much conversation about it publicly now is because people are trying to push as loudly and as hard as they can for the Equality Act. But as soon as the clock expires on that, you will hear Fairness for All, Fairness for All, Fairness for All. And what I'm telling you, there's some, even some Christians who are enticed to embrace the Fairness for All legislation as a compromise. Folks, I'll just say it flat out. There's no such thing as compromising on the truth of God's word. There's no such thing as compromising. And so this unwillingness to relent on Jack Phillips is just an example of the spirit of the age, the unwillingness of the spirit of the age to live and let live, so to speak. You know, why you can't let Jack Phillips live? Why you can't let Jack Phillips make it? Like, what is it so important that you have to make Jack Phillips make these demonic cakes? You know, celebrating Satan's birthday? Come on, man. And you know where the man stands already, but you continue to make these requests because the state of Colorado allows this to continue. And so I'm hoping that this backfires tremendously, that the state of Colorado is able to see this exactly for what it is. This is an additional effort to harass Jack Phillips for no reason other than his religious beliefs. Moving right along. Many of you have heard now that the United States of America and President Trump's administration has reached a deal on a key portion of the immigration issue on the southern border. President Trump tweeted about this on Friday. Interesting that he did it on a Friday. In the face of the application of tariffs, if a deal had not been reached, and the deal was reached on June 7th on Friday, President Trump proposed applying a 5% tariff to all goods coming into America from Mexico. That resulted in the Mexican administration sending a delegation to America to negotiate, and that negotiation has resulted in a deal. Now, because it was on a Friday, it was amazing that the initial reporting on this from even many in the talking snake media, they couldn't help but tell the truth about what had happened. So the first thing I want to play is a little audio from the Mexican ambassador, Martha Barcena. Martha Barcena describing the agreement and some of the unprecedented commitments that the Mexican government made as a result of the deal. Please play clip number one.
As a result of these discussions, the United States and Mexico commit to a Mexican enforcement surge. Mexico will take unprecedented steps to increase enforcement to curb irregular migration, to include the deployment of its National Guard throughout Mexico, giving priority to its southern border. Mexico is also taking decisive action to dismantle human smuggling and trafficking organizations, as well as their illicit financial and transportation networks.
Now, you heard that Ambassador Barcena said unprecedented action where the Mexican National Guard will be employed in stopping the train of illegal immigration beginning on its own southern border. All right, immediate reports, even in the mainstream media, recognized that this was a step in the right direction where the U.S. benefited greatly from it. I want you to listen to this little bit of audio from CNN anchor Victor Blackwell admitting the U.S. got almost everything it wanted in this agreement. Play clip number two, please.
Moving forward, the president not going to impose those escalating tariffs on Mexico in exchange for those stepped up enforcement deals. The Mexican side also saying that they've encouraged the U.S. to step up aid to Central American countries where the migrants are coming from to improve conditions there. Victor and Christy.
So now there's the additional border enforcement and help in breaking up trafficking networks. The U.S. got almost everything it wanted from Mexico.
Did you hear that? The U.S. got almost everything it wanted from Mexico. Now, of course, you know that was the weekend mainstream media. They hadn't had enough time to digest all that had happened. But it's amazing that when you have the initial reporting where the Mexican ambassador herself, as well as many others in the Mexican delegation, are saying that, hey, guys, we're going to be doing something that we hadn't done before. This is unprecedented enforcement on our end. And where you have the recognition that the U.S. got almost everything it wanted in this agreement, but that was only on the weekend. As the weekend went on, you saw a turn in the reporting on this event in attempts to spin this as something other than something that we should be celebrating for the United States of America. And I just want to give you a little bit of statistics because I did a little bit of digging. Did you know, I didn't know this, but did you know that in the month of May, the U.S. Customs and Border Patrol Agency detained, just in the month of May, over 144,000 illegal border crossers? That's in the month of May. When you break that down, that comes out to about 36,000 people per week, to 4,645 people per day in the month of May. But there's no crisis on our southern border. No, it's all made up. And when I'm saying that, I want everybody to understand that my heart breaks over the fact that there's some people that are so desperate in the countries of their national origin that they are willing to risk life and limb to come to the United States of America, but that should not cause us to completely abandon any idea of maintaining a lawful border.
I've been leading tours to Israel for over 25 years. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. I started going to Israel with my dad in the 80s and learned how to lead tour groups. And so been doing it ever since. And now my wife has joined me, Allison, and we love taking folks who support AFA and listen to AFR to Israel. And we'd love to have you come along with us as well. That's in March of 2020. We're letting you know ahead of time because we know that people need as much advance notice as possible to get ready for a trip like this. So if you want to go with us to the Holy Land in March, go ahead and get the information at twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com. All the information on the March trip to Israel is posted there, and hope you can join us.
Christians and alcohol. This is David Wheaton, host of the Christian Worldview. Christian moms drinking wine as their kids play, church events advertising beer and wine tastings, and Bible studies with brew, and an overall greater focus on alcohol at Christian gatherings. Once upon a time, most evangelical Christians steered clear of alcohol. Today, it has become mainstream. The Bible says, "Do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. At the last, it bites like a serpent." It is wise to avoid alcohol, especially considering the negative impact it can have on those around you. Hear more about Christians and alcohol at thechristianworldview.org. This Father's Day weekend, my parents will join us to talk about leaving a spiritual legacy.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Setting the record straight. That story coming up. For nearly 2 years now, the mainstream media and Democrats have been spreading a false narrative about President Trump. They say the president called the neo-Nazis and white supremacists in Charlottesville, Virginia, fine people. That is simply not true. This is the unedited audio of President Trump from August 15th, 2017.
Are we going to take down statues to George Washington? How about Thomas Jefferson? What do you think of Thomas Jefferson? You like him? Okay, good. Are we going to take down the statue? Because he was a major slave owner. Now, are we going to take down his statue? So you know what? It's fine. You're changing history, you're changing culture, and you had people, and I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists, because they should be condemned totally.
Look, it's okay to disagree with the president on policy, but it's not okay to intentionally lie, especially about something as volatile as race. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net and UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. We will open the phone lines this segment. So if you'd like to join the program, and let me tell you, Marty is eagerly standing by. The number to call if you'd like to join the program is 888 589-8840. The number again, if you'd like to join the program, is 888-589-8840. What I'd like to discuss with you, those who call, is, man, when you think about what's written for us in Psalm 84 and how the Lord, through the psalmist, really captured the heart of those who are making the trek from all over the nation of Israel to come to the temple complex for the times of worship, and how that relates to how really we have the privilege to worship the Lord all the time now that, you know, the veil has been rent, as mentioned in Matthew 27:51, and we get to gather with the believer to worship. How does that psalm really aid us in recalibrating our approach and our thought process concerning worship? Second thing on the docket, if you will, for today is, man, what do you think is going on with Jack Phillips? Do you agree with me or disagree that this is nothing but legal harassment? That, you know, you are harassing Jack Phillips for no reason other than his Christian beliefs. You know, to have another lawsuit filed against him? I mean, this is utterly ridiculous. And can you imagine what the outcry would be if this was happening in another direction? Can you imagine this happening, you know, I don't know, to a Muslim baker? Isn't it interesting? You never see any things like that happen. You know, isn't that amazing? So what do you think is going on with Jack Phillips? You think this is just an effort to fire a warning shot or an ending shot across the bow to say, listen, we will not tolerate Christian beliefs in the public square? What do you think about Jack Phillips? And thirdly, I want to welcome you to weigh in on President Trump's deal with Mexico and him securing new enforcement mechanisms. As I was referring to the statistics before, remember that the Border Patrol agency tells us on a conservative estimate that they are only able to detain one out of every three illegal border entrants. One out of three. And doing the numbers all the way back to October of 2018 until now, it's been 593,000, over 593,000 people who have entered our country illegally. Those are the ones who have been detained. And that detention is not a perpetual detention, because considering the current state of the law, many of them have been released into American society. You know, and again, I want to make sure I emphasize this. And there was a report done recently by the reporter, Laura Logan is her name, to where she is in the process of doing a full expose on the southern border, where it is a horror show. And she specifically talks about the statistics and the percentages of the women who are raped at each stage of the journey. And how, and I can tell you, you know, as a criminal prosecutor, that we know that in America, that, you know, rape and sexual assault is one of the least or one of the most underreported crimes that exist. And so for those that are reported in the states, we know that there are scores of others that go unreported. However, when it comes to these women who are being trafficked, who are being the product of human trafficking or are making the journey, the percentages of the rapes that occur there, that our mainstream media is trying to downplay that. You know, even in this era of, you know, so-called Me Too, they don't want to acknowledge the reality of the horrors. And if we really had compassion for people making the trek to America from, you know, I think it's called the Northern Triangle, Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador, don't you think we should have more conversations about the fact, oh, I don't know, but that the drug cartels are the ones that dominate the border? That are we gonna ever have conversations about that? I mean, this is ridiculous, man. 144,000 people last month. 140. We're on pace for over 1 million people. You know, it's only about 3.5 to 4 million people in my home state of Louisiana. You're talking about a quarter of the entire state's population in 1 year. You're talking about, you know, over 600,000 people making their way. That's larger than the population of the city of Miami. Like, and it's sad, but it shows that you have people, man, that are so invested in their political partisanship that they care more about that even than they care about the American people. You know, there was this reporter, and I'm going to read this because I don't have the audio for it. Not a reporter, but a spokesmouth, by the name of Samantha Vinograd. She was being interviewed on CNN by CNN's Brianna Kyler. And Brianna Kyler asks this question. This is concerning the president's agreement with the Mexican government. And let me add that the agreement also includes the end of catch and release, because the Mexican government agreed for all those illegal border crossers who make their way into our country from via our southern border, and they assert an asylum claim upon entree, that we can send them back to Mexico where they have to stay until their asylum claims are vetted. That is a huge deal, because before then, and the word on the street spread, because you get caught by Border Patrol, all you say is, I'm seeking asylum. And then they have to bring you to the country and release you in the country. That's what's described as catch and release. Well, the Mexican government has agreed not only to up enforcement, which their military has already began, by arresting people on their southern border, Mexico's southern border. But it also ends catch and release. But you got people like Nancy Pelosi saying she's disappointed that they can no longer do catch and release. Disappointed? Yeah, bro. It's crazy. We're getting back to Samantha Vinograd, because what I told you earlier, immediately after the president announced this on Friday, even many in the talking snake media couldn't help but report the truth. But as time went, they developed ways to spin. So here's Samantha Vinograd. Breonna Keller asked this question. Quote, do you think the tariffs may have helped the negotiations with Mexico? But that obviously, that's not the best method. I mean, is that a fair way to characterize your assessment, Samantha? Samantha Vinograd, who is a former advisor to President Obama, she responds this way. Quote, this is rewarding bad behavior. It is positive for the U.S. economy and the Mexican economy and the global economy that these tariffs are not going into effect. But what's happening is President Trump acted like a bully, and the Mexicans agreed to do something that he could say that he got a victory. It is likely that he will use this as a tool down the road because he can say that he got a reward from it, end quote. So wait a minute. So you need to tell me, in spite of the fact that the president was able to get traction from the Mexicans in light of his tariff threat, you're saying, yeah, but he was mean about it. Kind of like the Supreme Court. He was mean. They're rewarding bad behavior, and we don't want to incentivize that bad behavior. I'm like, these people are insane. Now, you've had people in Congress for all of these years. You had how many presidents before President Trump? And none of them have done anything like this for the border. Yet they're saying, yeah, but that's bad behavior. We don't want to reward bad behavior. Like, man, please. 144,000 people last month. And you're talking about bad behavior. Not satisfied there. There were many people who were saying that, oh, the president he's talking about this as a victory. This was not a victory, blah, blah, blah. And so the acting Secretary of Homeland Security, McAleenan, was interviewed. And he said, man, listen, y'all can say what y'all want. You can complain about the tactics or whatever, but we need help. And President Trump is getting it done. Listen to clip number 3.
Mr. Secretary, we heard the specifics there in David's piece, but how much of this is new?
All of it is new. I mean, we've heard commitments before from Mexico to do more on their southern border. The last time they deployed down there, it's about 400 or 500 officers. This is more than a tenfold commitment to increase their security in Chiapas. That's where people are entering from Guatemala in southern Mexico. This is the first time we've heard anything like this kind of number of law enforcement being deployed in Mexico to address migration, not just at their southern border, but also on the transportation routes to the northern border and in coordinated patrols in key areas along our southwest border.
You have the speaker of the House with a release that says threats and temper tantrums are no way to negotiate foreign policy. You're saying that this threat worked?
People can disagree with the tactics. Mexico came to the table with real proposals. We have an agreement that if they implement, will be effective.
If we implement, it will be effective. So contrary to what the talking snakes would have you to believe, this was an unprecedented step. And regardless, if some of the negotiations happened before last week, they finally are being enforced. You had, for example, the detention of people coming from Guatemala into Mexico on a train called the Beast. Well, it's illegal in Mexico for people to ride on trains coming up north to America. But they never enforced that. For the last 13 years, they hadn't been enforcing it until now. So I'm grateful for a host of reasons for us being able to come to this place. And I want to read to you this little bit from the joint declaration by the United States government and the Mexican government, where it says this, quote, Mexico will take unprecedented steps to increase enforcement to curb irregular migration, to include the deployment of its National Guard throughout Mexico, giving priority to its southern border. Mexico is also taking decisive action to dismantle human smuggling and trafficking organizations, that's the cartels, folks, as well as their illicit financial and transportation networks. Additionally, the United States and Mexico commit to strengthen bilateral cooperation, including information sharing and coordinated actions to better protect and secure our common border. This is good for Mexico. This is good for the southern countries. This is good for America. And I would really like us to get to the place to where we can get beyond discussing these things solely in partisan terms and get to the heart of what's actually happening there so that we all can be served. With that, go to the phone lines. Again, the number to call if you want to join the program is 888-589-8840. The number again is 888-589-8840. We will start in Virginia. Uh-oh, program froze up on me. Let me see where we are. We're in Virginia, where Tim is on the line. Tim, welcome to the program. Are you there, Tim?
Yeah, here I am. Can you hear me? Hey.
Yes, welcome to the program. Thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Hey, man, how you doing? I just want to address the Jack Phillips thing. I really think it is getting to be a form of harassment for him. I'm glad he's standing like that, because a lot of battles like that are happening. It's going to happen with us as Christians. And just this weekend, I used to drive for Lyft. And Lyft just set out a little digest for all the drivers saying how they're transferring and they supporting the gay agenda. And on that same note, you know, as a driver, man, I was a good driver because I engaged with the people. I had good conversation with people. I prayed with people. And I did a lot of things, but, you know, only because of God. But I'm just saying, I responded that with to Lyft and let them know that, you know, I wish that companies like you and other companies would stay with the business of serving people and not get into situations like this, because you'll lose, you know, customer base. I just went on that regard. I could have said more, but it was just an email. That's the only way to talk to me. And that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you, Tim, for your call and your comments. Yeah, you make a great point. And it clearly seems that the new price of admission, the cost of admission, you know, kind of like you go to the movie theater, you have to pay to get into the theater. The new cost of admission for Enterprise is that you're going to have to bow and kiss the ring of the sexual deviancy political agenda. I mean, that is what's happening. You have, you know, people making decisions for political purposes, but also for business purposes where they think, well, my competitors are going to support it. Well, why I have to support it too? I'm like, no, you don't have to do anything. But the pressure is on for these companies to capitulate. And as a result of the pressure being on, or not as a result, in addition to the pressure being on for these companies to capitulate, the pressure is also on for individuals to capitulate. So, Tim, I heard you loud and clear when you said you were a former Lyft driver. Back to the phone lines. We go next to the great state of Texas, where Anthony is on the line. Anthony, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. I just wanted to comment about the guy that makes the cake.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of frustrating, and I get everybody's opinion. I just want to let you know I do agree with what you're saying. And, you know, he's just basically, you know, being attacked by the devil. You know, he's a Christian. You know, he has beliefs in what the Bible says, as all of us Christians do. And he's just being attacked by the devil. What he's going to have to do is carry his cross daily and follow Christ. What we're going to have to do as Christians is pray for the brother.
Amen.
You know, pray for him and be there, you know, carry that burden with him.
Amen.
You know, one thing I wanted to say, President Trump, you know, and I understand, you know, his decision-making, a lot of that decision-making comes from people up underneath him. But President Trump, you know, supposedly is a Christian. What he has to do is stand up as a man of God. He's going to have to, you know, submit to God first. And then what he's going to need to do is put things in place, because God has put him in position to be there for a reason. And what he needs to do is put laws in place to protect Christians, period.
Thank you, Anthony, for your call and your comments. I'm going to try to get one more in. We're going to go next to Texas again, where David is on the line. David, you have 30 seconds, sir. Go right ahead.
I can make it. I'm a first-time caller. Real short comment about the border deal with Mexico.
Yeah.
Three words: trust and verify. Thank you very much.
I like it, David. Trust and verify. I didn't mention this yet, but the deal also includes a 90-day review period. The president said that he and the Mexican government will review the progress or the lack thereof within the next 90 days. And President Trump has said that if we are not satisfied with the progress that has been made under this agreement in 90 days, then guess what's back on the table? Boom, boom. 5% tariffs come right back. So, folks, that's the end of the program for today. But if you do not yet know the Lord Jesus and the pardoning of your sins, today is the day of salvation. Do not harden your heart.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.